As we approach the Christmas season, start reflecting on Joseph and Mary as they made that long journey toward Bethlehem. Didn't have the I-95 corridor to just hop in the car and drive down, you know. It's about 80 to 90 miles, if 80 miles if you take the direct route through these hills, or 90 miles if you go over to the Jordan Valley and then up. This is like a 3,500-foot elevation gain from the Dead Sea up to Bethlehem, so that's an arduous way too. But it's a tough trip, even for a modern society. Can you imagine what it would be like for Joseph and Mary? There would have been physical pain. It had been difficult for Mary being pregnant. We aren't told that she rode a donkey. You know, that's something that we invented and added to the story. There would have been hazards along the way from people, from bandits and robbers trying to opportunistically prey on people. Then maybe Joseph was wondering how he was going to find a place to stay. You know, we think they just popped in and you know, put their ballot in the box and drove away, but we don't know what the Roman system for registration was. Maybe it was you had to be there until they finally got around to you on the list, and it had been a long scroll with hundreds or maybe thousands of people. We don't know. But even more so, Joseph didn't know that he had more travels ahead. You know, he was going to Bethlehem and going back to Nazareth probably in his mind, but the Lord had a different plan for him. He was going to go to Bethlehem. They was going to give birth. Herod was going to go on the rampage. Joseph was warned by an angel in a dream to go on down to Egypt. And then he had that long walk back from Egypt all the way back to Nazareth again. Thousands, maybe, I don't think it was thousands, a few hundred miles for sure. But lots of walking, lots of travel. And the Lord revealed it to him in the right amount of time. But think about the fact that their travail, their suffering was actually necessary to fulfill prophecy. Some 100 plus prophecies were fulfilled when that event occurred. So it was a necessary thing for them to go through that journey. And then we rehearse the story and remind ourselves year after year after year, and it blesses us, because we remember God's faithfulness, how he promised 100 plus times that he was sending the Messiah, and he did it. He was faithful to the day when he promised that, and he promised that he would provide salvation through Jesus Christ. So, as you are walking, the topic for the day is, as you're staying on a path, your life path, make sure you're staying on the right path. Staying on the right path, just like many have gone before us. Let's open with prayer. Thank you, Holy Father, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the opportunity to read how you've provided for us as we journey along, how you've provided your faithfulness, your grace, and your mercy time and time again. And commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read Proverbs chapter 2. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. We're starting at verse 6 there. Guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. Just thinking about the different paths that you're seeing in this passage. And also in Proverbs chapter 4, there's a similar passage that has lots of options between paths. You have wisdom versus foolishness, righteousness versus wickedness, or sin or evil, light versus darkness, justice versus corruption or dishonesty or illegality or lawlessness, a level or a smooth path versus an unstable or slippery path, straight path versus a crooked path, peace versus confusion, ancient highways versus bypaths, life versus death. These aren't all in this Proverbs chapter 2, but as I was reading through the concordance, these are all things that come up as ways paths are used: prosperity, truth, faithfulness, and everlasting. Definition, the Hebrew word that's used for path is also translated way or course or highway. And in Greek, it would be a way, a road, a highway, or a beaten track. So they mean the same thing to us today. If you're taking a path, it's also a way. But the interesting thing to me is how many times those words are used in Scripture. And we allegorize a lot of them, but a lot of them are physical paths that are taken. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That word way is also used talking about Paul walking on the way. You know, it's a physical term too. So the first category is wisdom versus foolishness. In Proverbs 2, 6, and 7, a great memory verse: "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity." Where does our wisdom come from? It comes from the Lord. And it's not just a little bit. It's a warehouse of wisdom. He stores it up. Stores up wisdom. I like that word picture. And he provides a shield around us. You know, we have protection as we're walking along, focused on him. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. And 12, the beginning of wisdom is to acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Here's the Lord speaking, personified as wisdom. "I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths." It's not just a passive activity. You have to commit yourself to him. The beginning of wisdom is to acquire wisdom. Set yourself out with that as your goal. He's providing direction. We have to take a step out. If you're going to walk down a path, you have to put one leg in front of another. Gaining wisdom is not just a passive activity, but God is leading you as you progress. Proverbs 19:3, "The foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord." I didn't write this one down, but Psalm 14:1, "The fool has said in his heart, 'No God.'" And, you know, we add the "there is no." Andy's pointed out that it really just says there in that passage, "The fool has said, 'No God.'" So I don't want God in my life. That's what the fool's perspective is. And we see in this verse, Proverbs 19, "The fool rages against the Lord, and as a result, his path is ruined." In Proverbs chapter 8, "Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights, beside the way where his paths meet, she takes her stand. She cries out, "To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom." And I see this passage. It says where the paths meet. There are paths in our lives that are intersecting. And we have to make a decision when we get to that intersection. Are we going to go to the left, to the right, straight, you know, reverse course? Where the paths are meeting, wisdom is standing up and crying out. She's saying, understand prudence, understand wisdom. And wisdom is actively calling out. It's always available to us. If we're open to hearing God's wisdom, he's always speaking. Available to all, too. It's not just a select few. God is making his wisdom available. Cry out for it. That's the key takeaway. We were hiking in Wind River Mountains. I've said this before. We'd hiked about 160 miles on four backpacking trips when we got to Palmer Lake here. So we were experts in hiking at this point. Expert backpackers, right? No, not really. But we were on our way out. Margaret was very happy. Last day of the trip, we were right here where this shot was taken. Nice camp spot by a little ridge up above the lake. And we were facing pretty much a little bit of a climb and then all downhill back to the trailhead, about 2,500 foot elevation drop. So that's a good thing when you're dropping elevation. But we left our quiet, comfortable campsite and we started heading down this nice path. Nice path downhill, down through the valley. And after about maybe a half a mile, I just started feeling uneasy. You know, I felt, you know, something's wrong. Something is wrong with this. I know we have to go up over a mountain, and we're going downhill, and I don't see a mountain down there. You know, we're going down there. Like, something's wrong. And I'm staring up the hill, and I go, you know, I think we just need to go up that way. I think the path really is up that hill, up toward that mountain peak off to my right. And we struggle our way up from the valley, right, Margaret? We were down here near this creek bottom, and we worked our way up the hill through the scrub, and we got to the top. And sure enough, there's a trail right there. I breathed a great prayer of relief. Thank the Lord for that. But why did I miss it? It was such an obvious path, such an obvious thing to see. Sometimes we have waymarks in life that we're not paying attention to. There was a big rock cairn there in the middle of the field. And I saw it, and I think I pointed it out to you. I think, look at that cairn. That's a strange place for that to be. But I didn't see a path going off to the right. So we just headed down what looked obvious, headed down the obvious trail, downhill, the easy way. And in reality, I should have been searching around and listening and praying about it. I wasn't praying for guidance at all. And if I'd prayed, I'm sure the Lord would have showed me. But instead, I had to struggle my way back up the hill and bring Margaret struggling with me. And it was a climb, and it took a bit of effort, and we lost time, and it was a struggle. And that's the way it is in our spiritual walk. You know, when we take things in our own hands, we don't ask for wisdom, we do things because we know that's the way it's got to be. Sometimes the Lord teaches us a lesson and makes us have to redirect, do some climbing, do some struggling to get back the lost ground that we've lost. The path of wisdom. Second, righteousness versus wickedness. Verse 20 in Proverbs 2. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the Lord gives wisdom, that passage says in verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and he is the one who has enabled us to walk righteously. Not of our own goodwill, own good strength, own good character, but because of the Lord. Proverbs 4, verse 11. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Don't pass by it. Turn away from it. and pass on. How many ways does he have to say it? He gives you four different options there. Don't pay a bit of attention to that evil way. He repeats it for emphasis. That's a lesson for us. How many times do we have to hear a message for it to sink in? You know, we need to hear it the first time. Psalm 1. Now, you know this passage. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight, verse 6, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So a wise person will avoid the path of wickedness, and he will rest in God's provision. If you read that whole psalm there, you see he is firmly planted by streams of living water. He's resting in God's provision. He gains wisdom from regularly feeding on the word, regularly depending on the Lord's sustenance. That's the way of the righteous. In Psalm 85, 13, righteousness goes before him and will make his footsteps into a way. And this is a prophetic psalm talking about Jesus Christ. Righteousness goes before him and his footsteps make a way. It's a great word picture because he is the one who's trotting the way and we follow in his footsteps. And if you've ever studied how paths are created, it's not you walking through the grass one time that makes a path. It's regular trotting of feet through that spot. The more it's trod, the more the path becomes distinct. Jesus is the one who's blazing the trail, and we're just to follow in his footsteps. I love that passage in Revelation 15:3. You know, it's a beautiful picture of worship in heaven. Great and marvelous. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. It's a great praise song from 500 years ago. No, I think it was like 40 years ago. We used to sing that. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Worship in heaven. Righteous and true are your ways. Amen to that. One more hiking illustration, well, two in this case, you get a bonus. You know, sometimes our spiritual walk is on a trail that is through dangerous territory, and we can see the trail, like the boardwalk in Yellowstone. If you go to Yellowstone Park, the boardwalks go through the thermal features. And if you stay on the boardwalk, you don't get burned. If you get off the boardwalk, you could scald yourself, maybe fall in through the crust and die. Many people have. Not many, but several people a year, it seems like. But the danger is very clear, and the pathway is very clear. Sometimes our walk through life is on an unclear, uncharted path. Not clear to us, clear to the Lord. In this case, I really wanted to go visit this lake, Beaumark Lake up here. And I knew there was a unmaintained trail that ran along this ridge. And you study this topographical map and you go, well, I know there's a little blob here and a little mountain there. And I know if I go generally northeast and curve along the side of this mountain, there's a mountain here. I just need to make sure I orient myself and travel along. And the trail, we almost missed the marker for it. Prayed about it and backtracked a bit and found it. And then you see these cairns here, rock stacked up. And then over here, oh, great, there's a path over there. Turns out that was really an elk path, as best I could tell. But I knew I wanted to walk along this mountain and work my way over here behind that ridge. And Margaret was very faithful following along. But you get to a point where you don't see anything but brush. You know, everything that was clear before, nice open field, is now obscured. And you have willows and rocks and creeks and streams, springs coming up through the ground. and it becomes difficult. And you start second-guessing, don't you, as you're going through life? Do the same thing. Am I really doing the Lord's will here? Am I really walking a righteous life, or am I veering off? Reflection is good for you. You need to constantly be evaluating. And then we did climb and climb and got a view that opened up, and you could see up ahead, you know, there's a gap up here in the mountains, and I thought, you know, we've made it. We've survived. And you get up there, and oh, the lake pops into view. Oh, praise the Lord, we made it. We didn't die in the backcountry. And there's still no trail. It's just us walking through the rocks. But then the Lord gives you, as we read in that last passage, a beautiful, beautiful snapshot of his creation. You know, we're told to set our eyes on things above, not on things on the earth. And our walk through the path of life, through the path of difficulty and uncertainty, requires us to do it alone or to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ to guide us. You know, which are you going to take? Righteous and true are your ways. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. We're going to be singing to the King of the nations one day in person, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to stop here because I have another half an hour's worth of material. Maybe I'll do that another day. But, you know, we've got enough to go on here. The Lord is great and marvelous. He's provided wisdom, and he's provided his righteousness, not through works of righteousness we've done, but according to his, we are saved. Praise the Lord. What I'm going to do now is close in prayer, and I'll also ask the Lord's blessing on our food downstairs. Please, everybody, come down. Let's have a meal together downstairs and have some fellowship. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all you've done. Thank you for the faithfulness of your word. Thank you for telling us ahead of time so many times what your plan was. And then it came to pass. All those prophecies fulfilled through Jesus' birth. Many more fulfilled through his life, ministry, death, resurrection. But thank you for wisdom that you provide. All we have to do is ask. Thank you for your righteousness, not ours. Because of your righteous deeds, we are saved. Thank you so much. We pray as we go through this coming week that you would guide us step by step, walk in the path of life, make us faithful ambassadors for you in Jesus' beautiful and blessed name. We ask for your blessing on the food we're about to have in a few minutes. Thank you for making it possible, for all the work that went into it, for giving us strength through it and chance to fellowship with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.